I'm reading from John 21, 15 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where they want you to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Keep a finger if you've got a paper Bible, or put a piece of paper in John 21. But turn with me to Song of Songs. In our Bibles, that's on page 681. Song of Songs, chapter 2. Page 681 in the church Bibles. As we work our way through, hopefully you'll start to see why John 21, why Jesus' interaction with Peter. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Follow me." But we're in Song of Songs. Song of Songs, chapter 2, and our passage begins in verse 8. The scene starts with our Shulamite woman, main character, really. There's two main characters, but it's her voice that we hear the most. The scene starts with the Shulamite woman at home. It is a lovely April morning. Remember those? We've had a few, haven't we? Just glimpses of that clear blue sky and sunshine. The mornings when you can open the windows and you can hear the birds singing. Well, that's the scene for the Shulamite woman here at Song of Songs, chapter 2 and verse 8. She's got the windows open in her house and she can hear the birds singing. And then she hears a familiar sound. Look at verse 8. "Listen, my beloved." Is it the sound of the engine of his Ford Capri coming down the road? Well, no, he's a king, isn't he? He's a king. Maybe it's his electric Aston Martin coming around the corner. Perhaps it's the distinctive hooves of Mr. Darcy's horse. "Look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. He's youthful, he's energetic, he's got poise and strength. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. He's here, my beloved, the one my heart loves, he's here. Why has he come? What's he going to say?" Verse 10, "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me.'" We heard last week in the song the theme of desire. Desire of the woman of Shulam for the man Solomon. We heard both of them speaking and both of them sharing their desire for each other. Some of us were surprised to see that kind of language in our Bibles. But we could see it and feel it. And last week we saw it. It's not simply a song about a human relationship, man and woman. It's pointing us to a greater relationship, the ultimate relationship, Christ and his church. And we're going to do what we did last week. We're going to trace the song through, remembering it's a song. It's full of metaphor. It's poetry. Trying to think, what's the imagery saying to us? I'm going to trace that through and apply it to our relationships, and then we're going to circle back. I think, well, for all of us, what does that mean for our relationship with Jesus? So last week the theme was desire. This week the theme is proposal. Remember last week her longing for him to whisk her away. That was her language at the beginning of the song, wasn't it? We were in at the deep end with her. She was longing to be with him, for him to come to her, to literally whisk her off his feet, off her feet. Well, that's what he's offering to do as he comes now. So this week our heading is proposal. Proposal. He points to the season. Look at that, verse 11. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. It's spring. It's the season of love. That's what the birds have been up to in our garden. Magpies making a nest in the tree. Pigeons mating or fighting, I'm not sure. Robins making a nest in our shed. Spring, it's the season of love. And so he says, arise. Come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Remember I said last week that this is a song, so there's not a neat story through, but I think there is a sense of narrative going on. Last week, their desire for each other. This week, the proposal. Next week, we'll see the wedding. And that's why he's come. He's come to propose. He's not come to invite her out on a date. It's not a trip to the cinema or the restaurant he's after. No, he's down on one knee here, asking her to marry him. Come. Come with me, join with me, commit to being with me. Let's get married. Now it's interesting, she's narrated this to us. It's been her voice that we've heard so far. But with his voice, we start to see that her first response isn't encouraging. There's sometimes those occasions, aren't there, at a sports match. It's been arranged. He's going to propose to her and the camera's on them. And there's that sense of dread. What if she says no? Live on camera in front of all these people. Well, she'd seemed really keen, hadn't she, through chapter 1 into chapter 2. But now it seems she's holding back, hiding in the house. Look at verse 14. He says, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside. Is she unsure? Is it the thought of commitment that suddenly there's a serious level to this? Can I? For life, should I? But he's persistent, kind, gentle. Look at his words. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. You know, any relationship is based on talking, isn't it? That's how we get to know one another. We have to reveal something of ourselves through our words. That's true of every relationship. Friendships. If we stop talking to each other, if we stop communicating, that friendship will grow cold. Marriage relationships. If we stop talking to each other, if that gets crowded out in the busyness of life, then there's danger for our relationship. Does one of you need to say to the other, show me your face, let me hear your voice? For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Well, from the lovely invitation, he then gives a strange instruction. Look at verse 15. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Again, it's odd. The song is like that, isn't it? We have to keep thinking, what's going on? Foxes causing trouble. We have foxes causing trouble. They've worked out how to open our food bin. Do you have that in your street? Even when it's heavy and the handle is locked, and the shame of walking out in the morning and finding that your food bin has been distributed all across the pavement, and it's not easy to pick up. Well, in Israel, there was trouble with foxes, not our kind of foxes, slightly smaller, a bit more rat-like, and they caused trouble in the vineyards. See, if they got into the vineyards and were able to stay in the vineyards, they'd get at the vines. In particular, they'd eat at the roots. The metaphor here, the picture is that the vineyard is their relationship. The thing that might be fruitful, that's starting to bud and show the flowers of spring. And he says, we can't just rest on our laurels. No, there's foxes around that might start to gnaw away at the roots of our relationship. We need to put work into our relationship for it to be able to flourish. What might the foxes be in our relationships? Bad habits? Perhaps an overfocus on our children that replaces our spouse in our affections? Perhaps a lack of prayer together. If you're married, why not pick up a book on marriage and use that as a chance to find the foxes and go fox hunting? Well, having heard his call, heard his proposal, she responds. And we're all relieved to know it's a yes. Look at verse 16. She says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Yes. Let's get married. He browses among the lilies. Again, metaphor, picture language. What's she saying? Well, who's been described as a lily in the song so far? She has. Lily amongst thorns, he said. Who's been described as a more of an animal that might graze or browse, a stag or a gazelle? He has. He browses among the lilies. This is one flesh talk. This is physical relationship coming together talk. My beloved is mine and I am his. But before she invites him in, before she goes or they go, where most of the films or TV programs that we watch, couple in love, where's that going to head before marriage? Physically, they're going to consummate that relationship. She says, not yet. Verse 17, until the day breaks and the shadows flee, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the rugged hills. Those hills, footnote helps us a bit, they're the hills of separation. Not yet, let's wait. Let's wait till we're married. Let's not push the boundaries physically yet, even though we love each other, even though we're committed to each other, not yet. God's design for sex is that it's for marriage, the safety and security of a marriage relationship, not outside of that. Let's wait. And they do wait. And maybe it's that night, or maybe it's a few days later, she's in bed, she's on her own, but she's dreaming. And it's a dream that starts a bit like a nightmare. Chapter 3, verse 1. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. So in her dream, she says to herself, verse 2, I'll get up now and go about the city. Through its streets and squares, I'll search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Now, Rachel sometimes wakes up grumpy with me. Sometimes that's deserved. But sometimes I haven't done anything, but she has dreamt that I have. And the forgiveness is quite slow. That's the picture here. As she dreams, she's thinking, he's gone, he's left her. They're engaged, that he promised her to be hers. But it seems like he's deserted. Has he gone off with someone else? Has he changed his mind? It's a nightmare she's having. Have you seen the one my heart loves? I can't find him. Well, thankfully, unlike Rachel's dreams, her dream ends in a good way. Verse 4. Scarcely had I passed them, the watchman, when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go till I brought him into my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. She's okay. The wedding is still on. She's relieved. She's delighted. The relationship is going to survive. The ring is still on her finger. The marriage is still going to happen. And then she repeats the warning that we've heard before. Verse 5, daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. It is powerful. It will give you bad dreams. It will take over your thoughts and your lives. It is a strong, strong passion. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Well, how do these verses help us in our relationship with Jesus? That's the ultimate goal of these verses. How do they help us in our relationship with him? Well, two questions. Each week there's going to be these two sort of application questions that we can ask, and I'll help us a bit with some answers. In growth groups, we're going to talk about this a bit more for some answers, and particularly on our own, we need to think these things through. So remember, Yvette read to us John 21. At the very end of that section, we heard these words from Jesus. Calling to Peter, follow me, he said. Jesus says to all of us, follow me. So here's a question. What holds us back from following Jesus wholeheartedly? He comes to us. Beginning of our passage, remember him coming, bounding across the hills. The Lord Jesus comes to us. The Bible tells us we are dead in our sin. It's not that we move towards him, but he comes to us. Through the work of his Spirit in our hearts, makes us alive to him. So we start to see him and understand who he is and what he's done for us on the cross. He comes to us. And he says to us those words in chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 13, arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. But does he find us hiding? Hiding in the cleft of a rock, unsure of whether we want to commit to him, to truly follow him. Are we fearful of commitment to Jesus? Are we worried about what he might call us to do or stop doing? Are we concerned about where he might call us to go? Perhaps we've not started to follow him yet, and yet we've heard that call as Jesus comes into our view and we see how attractive he is, and we see his love for us on the cross, which we'll be remembering in communion later. And he says to us, "Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." Do we hold back? And to be a Christian is to be in relationship with Jesus and to follow him daily. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." What holds us back from following Jesus wholeheartedly? Have things got in the way? Are there foxes we need to deal with? Are there things that we've allowed to get into the vineyard that are damaging the growth of our relationship with Jesus? Are there idols that we're loving instead of him? Are there doubts we're dwelling on and feeding and allowing to grow instead of feeding our faith? Are there bad habits we've formed which are preventing time with him? What fox hunting do you need to do to enable your relationship with Jesus to flourish, that you might follow him more wholeheartedly? What do you need to get rid of or throw out or stop, that your relationship with him might grow? Jesus says, "Follow me." What holds us back from following Jesus wholeheartedly? Secondly, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" As he says to Peter, and it's striking, isn't it? Repeatedly, to Peter, who's let him down. "Peter, do you love me?" And Jesus asks you the same question. Do you love me? How does Jesus help us to love him and not let him go? Well, in the song, we see some encouragements he might bring to us. "Show me your face," he says. "Let me hear your voice." Will you take those words this morning as Jesus' words to you? Have you stopped doing quiet times with him, reading the Bible and praying on your own? Is that a habit that's slipped and gone? Jesus says to you, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. Will you spend time praying to me, sharing with me the things that are going on in your life, the struggles, the hardships, the joys? Let me hear your voice. Jesus gives us encouragements to hold on to him, to spend time with him. You know, Jesus desires you more than what you do. He desires time with you more than the time you give serving him. Different rotas you might belong to, different busyness of church life that you might be involved in, different things out there that you might be doing for his service, for his glory, all good things. But he wants time with you. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. He says to you. We're going to be thinking as we head through the song a bit more of, why does Jesus find us attractive? Why does he say that we're lovely? We don't feel lovely. Why does he say that our voice is sweet? It doesn't sound sweet to ourselves. We're going to have some help of working that through later in the song. But today, take that invitation. Hear that call. Maybe later today, read those verses. hear Jesus saying them to you and spend some time with him and speak to him. But you know, he has another way of making us love him and not let him go. A surprising way, and yet one I think many of us experience. He might withdraw from us. He might encourage us to come to him, but he also might withdraw from us. That's a surprising thing for me to say, isn't it? And yet it's what we see here in the song. Remember what goes on there in chapter 3, verse 1. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. He'd gone. There was an absence. Have you experienced times where Christ feels distant to you? You're doing the same things, attending church, reading your Bible, but it feels like you're praying to yourself in an empty room. It doesn't seem like he's there. There's a darkness that's crowded in. It's captured in the hymn that we sang just before, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. The verses speak of a distance, a darkness. Church leaders in the past used to call it a spiritual depression that we might have. Can't put our finger on why, but he feels distant. It's like he's gone. It's a really helpful book, which I flagged last week and I meant to bring with me today. Julian Hardiman's book, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. It's based on the Song of Songs. And he says this, the lover of our souls sometimes needs to withdraw to remind our souls how much they want him. We have the phrase, don't we? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Jesus sometimes does that, sometimes withdraws from us to make us realize how much we need him, how much we love him, that when we find him again, we will hold him. Remember those words? Hold him and not let him go. Song of Songs, chapter 3. Jesus sometimes does that. We don't understand why. In the thick of it, it is painful. We're concerned. We might become anxious. The worst thing we can do is stop coming to church in those moments or stop coming to growth group, to withdraw from God's people who have God's Spirit, who can bring to us God's presence. And yet we're prone to do that, aren't we? They won't understand. I can't share this with them. That's the logic in our head, but it's a wrong logic. No, I need to keep coming. I need to go. I need to share. I need others perhaps to pray for me. The Lord feels far, distant. Don't know what he's doing. He's not answering my prayers. It might be that he's stirring up a greater longing for him. That when we find him, chapter 3, verse 4, I held him. I found the one my heart loves and would not let him go.